context, they were very religious. He said that because there on Mars Hill, he looked around and there were all of these displays, these monuments, these booths, these pinnacles, all of these altars to all of the deities man could think of, all of the thought process, all of the opinions, all the traditions. He said they're too, are very, very religious. I heard a preacher one time saying, it's kind of like going to a big farmer's market. And before you are thousands and thousands of varieties of all sorts of fruits and vegetables, I like to say it this way, it's like going to a cafeteria and choosing between 100 or more desserts. But anyway, the town was overflowing with people who really wanted to know. Every religious genre was represented, every single one except one. In fact, that's what Paul said. As I was walking about, I saw monuments and altars to all these religious beliefs. He said, I even saw one that was designated to the unknown God. I guess they didn't want to offend some deity of which they had never heard. But brethren, let's give them credit. They were searching. They were looking. They were wanting to know. They just couldn't get their deck chairs open. And the Bible says that Paul's heart, his spirit, was moved. In fact, the Bible says his spirit was provoked in him. And the reason it was provoked, the reason he was moved, is because here are no telling how many hundreds or thousands of people looking for something and they just didn't know how to find it. They were looking for salvation. Let's give them credit for that. They were looking for salvation, God, something, but they were looking in the wrong place. Reminds me of a story I heard one time about W.C. Fields. I doubt if anyone in here is old enough to remember W.C. Fields. W.C. Fields was sitting on his bed one day with a Bible in one hand and a bottle of whiskey in the other. And a good friend of his walked by and said, Bill, I didn't know you were a religious man. He said, I'm not a religious man. I'm looking for a loophole. Well, brethren, there are no loopholes in God's plan of salvation. And there's only one way to be saved. There's only one plan. There's only one Savior. And with that, let me introduce what we will use as our text. Ultimately, I'm going to be in John 14, verse 6. But let's start in chapter 13. In John 13, we find that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. We get down to verse 12, and he asks them, do you realize what I've done for you? Well, he doesn't give them a chance to answer. Instead, in verse 15, he answers for them. He said, I have given you this example that you can do what I've done for you. Now, what had he done for them? Oh, I know he had washed their feet, but there's bound to be a lesson here. What he did was he showed the disciples, and he's showing us that we need to do everything we possibly can to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as it's biblical, ethical, and legal, we need to be willing to do anything to spread the gospel. Now, later in that same chapter, Jesus informed them that he would not be with them much longer. It seems that it caused all of his disciples to be despondent, but especially Peter. You remember Peter had made some very bold claims there in John 13. So in order to comfort Peter and the other disciples, and now in order to comfort us, we're beginning the 14th chapter, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then we skip one verse, and Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? We're familiar with Jesus' answer. I am the way. I am the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, if you have your Old Testaments, open to Genesis chapter 3. If you do not have your Old Testaments, remember this afternoon to open to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 24. I'm going to make a few comments about that. Genesis chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God had made Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He realized that it was not good for Adam to be alone, so he put Adam to sleep. He took a rib from his side, created woman, and presented a helpmeet to him. God then placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and told them their duties and responsibilities. He also told them the one thing that was going to anger him. And guess what they did? The one thing that would anger him. And because of their sin, he booted them out of the Garden of Eden and placed cherubim to protect the tree of life. He placed cherubim, an angel, to protect the tree of life. Let me read verse 24. So God drove out the man, and of course Eve was with him, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, believe it or not, I heard years and years and years ago about two very scholarly preachers that debated for three nights as to whether there was one cherubim that God used or more than one cherubim God used. Three nights of debate on whether God used one angel or more than one angel. To me, that's almost a waste of time. But we can debate, if you want to, whether there was one or more than one cherubim, but debate stops when we talk about that flaming sword, because it's called the flaming sword. Now, why was there only one sword? Because it was protecting the one tree of life. To protect the tree of life, God placed cherubim and the flaming sword, a flaming sword, one sword, only one. Now flip over just a few pages to Genesis chapter 6, Noah and the ark. I'm going to ask this in question form. I'm really not asking for a verbal response, but you can say it in your mind at least. In verse 16, how many decks were on the ark? Well, three. There were three decks on the ark. Why three? Because it took that much space to house all of the animals that God had helped Noah take aboard the ark. All right, same verse. How many doors? One. Three decks. Why only one door? Because there's only one way into the ark, and that was the door. In fact, King James, American Standard, New American Standard, English Standard, and most other translations translate it the door. He put the door in the side. Incidentally, you remember Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. One door, because there was only one way into the ark. Now let's get a little more specific with our text. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to heaven. And there's no other way except by me. Now again, stay with me for a moment. We're in Acts chapter 2. The church has come into being. And it seems that a lot of these new Christians must have heard how Jesus described the church, described salvation, because at least for a period of time, the moniker that the church wore was the way. That's how they referred to the church, as the way. The reason I say that is because that's what we find in the book of Acts. Acts 9 verses 1 and 2. This is before Paul's conversion. So he is Saul of Tarsus. He has secured letters of authority so he could go and arrest Christians who belong to the way. We get to Acts chapter 19. This is after Paul after his conversion. So he's no longer Saul of Tarsus. Now he's the Apostle Paul. And he is teaching in the synagogue. And he found some who hardened their heart. And they did not believe, but they spoke evil of, here's that phrase again, the way. They spoke evil of the way. Later in the chapter, verse 23, in that city there came no small disturbance concerning the way. And then Paul is retelling his conversion experience in Acts chapter 24, verse 22. He says, Felix had an accurate knowledge of the way. So Jesus said, I am the way. Now there's two sides to this coin. Jesus said, I am the way. But Solomon said, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is the way of death. And Jesus also warned, broad is the way that leads to destruction. But let's consider his words of verse 6, John 14, 6. No one comes to the Father but by me. Brethren, I suppose of all people in the world, I, as a preacher, realize that words are important. Words are important. They are utterly important. When Jesus says, I am the way, he is saying he is the utterly exclusive way to the Father. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. Without him and apart from him, there is no other way to the Father. Now, if someone wants to be saved and they say, well, Jesus is he just doesn't do it for me. Don't think that there's a plan B, because there is not. Let's add to what Jesus said, I am the way, to what Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation, he's talking about Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Add to that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, also talking about Jesus. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Brethren, these verses show that this statement is absolutely definitive. There is no other way except Jesus. There's no other name except his. There's no other foundation than the one that he laid based on the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 16. Let's begin our conclusion with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's one God. We all know that. Ephesians 4, Old Testament, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There is one God. And Paul says there's also one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, because of sin, the fellowship that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden with God was divided. God, realizing that was going to happen, prepared a plan to get humanity and deity back together. But man was going to need a mediator, an advocate, a go-between. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. We needed someone from heaven, because that chasm between humanity and deity was eternally wide. Only Jesus could bridge that gap, because only Jesus started in heaven, came to the earth, and went back again. I started on the earth, so did you. I hope to go to heaven, so do you. But Jesus started in heaven. Even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was in heaven with God. John 1, 1, 1 John 1, 1, and so forth. So we understand that chasm was eternally wide. We needed someone who was eternal to bridge that gap for us, and that's what Jesus did. His death on the cross paid the price for the bridging of that gap. And he proved his worthiness in his resurrection, which proved he was the true and living God. That mediator, Jesus, is necessary, but he's the only mediator who is qualified to be our mediator, our advocate, our go-between with God. These are utterly exclusive statements. Just as God is utterly exclusive, thou shalt have no other gods before me, his Son is utterly exclusive in reaching God. He will stand for no competition. He is the true and living Son of a true and living God. He will not share his praise and glory with any created being. He is God's Son. Jesus, God looked down from heaven at Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son." He said it again, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Not those deities in ancient Athens, not the traditions of men, not the false deities that were represented, but the unknown God is God, and he is known to us. Now, sincerity is essential, don't get me wrong, but sincerity is not enough. You know, a long time ago, most of us were taught that 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. 2 plus 2 does not equal 3. And it never will. Jesus is the only way to reach heaven. The only way to reach the Father. He was, he is, and he will always be the only way. And that's why he was qualified to say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We skip down, and Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way." And he is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And we can't get to the Father except by him. Now, if you're new to understanding Jesus, if you've never really listened to the teaching of the New Testament, I ask you to trust me. But I'll assure you, I or any member of this congregation will be glad to sit down with you and show you exactly what Jesus says we need to do to reach heaven. We need to go through him. We need to hear his gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to believe what it says. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God will not see death. We need to turn away from anything that stands between us and that way. That's called repentance, a change. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is our only hope to go to heaven. With the heart, we believe unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we need to be baptized because that's what Jesus said to do. So if there's anyone here today who needs to respond to the invitation for baptism or for prayers, regardless, this is a short song. We're only going to sing the 3 verses. So please do not delay. If you need to respond to Jesus, do so now as we stand together and sing. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever Savior and my God. Let's go ahead and sing this anyway. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I'll trust in thee, my Savior and my God. Let's sing 552.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Me always living in thee. Again, we're so thankful.